Welcome back to The Drive, and we're pleased now to be joined by UNI men's basketball coach Kyle Green. The Panthers, much like most other college basketball teams, began summer workouts recently. The Panthers did so this Monday, so we got a little bit to talk about here and catching up with Coach. Coach Green, thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's been my favorite week since I got hired, since I actually get to be on the court and do some basketball things, coach some guys. It's been fun.
I would imagine so. And actually, I got like a little bit of a point of contention here. Coach Lehman, our friend, was on the show yesterday, and we were both griping how much we could use a primetime league game in our life right now.
Yeah, you might be the only one.
Yeah.
Not a coach that's saying that.
No. You guys get it all to yourselves now. So, and you know, I was kind of thinking, like, maybe we could get at some point here, like, sometime after 4th of July, just something to put, like, an idea here. An open inter-squad scrimmage.
Okay. I'm open to some ideas. That's not a bad idea.
You know, we could.
I think, Cole, it's not long. I bet you there's a time within the next 5 years that we're allowed to play a couple of games in the summer, that there becomes a summer season.
Well, and then
I think that's actually going to happen.
How about this as well? Like, you know, you charge just a modest amount at the door, and a portion or all of it just goes to the rev share.
Now you're talking my language. You go. Two purposes. We could kill two birds with one stone there.
Yeah.
So action for our guys in public and in front of people and, you know, raise a little money for the program.
And then you don't have to hear me bitch anymore about no primetime league games. That's just another great reason.
It's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly.
Like
just send it up the flagpole if you'd like. Just some food for thought here. But,
absolutely. Yeah. Will do.
Team workouts begin on Monday. And, I mean, how does this go when you got eight new guys on the roster? You just got to accept that maybe it's going to go a little slower than it would otherwise?
Yeah, 100% right. Like, you know, we met on Sunday and started workouts on Monday, and I told them on Sunday we have just really two goals for the summer, to get stronger and then to become a team, like just to figure out a way to develop some chemistry when you have new coaches, you know, and really 14 guys that have never played on the same team together. And so it was set up by doing that, just by daily habits of getting a little bit better every day and being patient and actually – talk to the guys about that on Tuesday. Like, okay, let's not get frustrated. Both coaches and players is where we're at, because we know where we're at. We just have to get a little bit better every day. And we do that, we'll look back at the end of the summer and we'll have made a lot of progress. And we really already have. The three workouts we've had have been great. Guys have had great energy, and I feel like we've gotten better, and they're picking it up quickly.
Is it important to play much 5-on-5 because you have so many new guys, and maybe you'd like to not only just play it to get out of it what you would seeing it with your own two eyes as it happens, but then to also have some film to look back on?
Yes, it is. You know, and then traditionally I haven't done that a lot in the summer, but we will, and we have. We've had specific segments where we just let them play, because really we have to be flexible enough when you bring a whole new team together. I have an idea of how we want to play, but I have to kind of be flexible enough to figure out what we can do and what the guys are able to do and what we can play to their strengths and how we can get the most out of the crew. And the only way we can do that is to kind of watch them play and let them play together. And we've done a fair amount of that, and we'll even do more as the next couple of weeks unfold. And probably have, by the end of the summer, played a lot more 5-on-5 than normally we would in a summer session.
You know, typically in any given sport, like I'm a big baseball guy, and it's always like, hey, which player showed up to spring training in the best shape of his life? Any player, of course, wants to be playing their best or looking their best or both when it's crunch time. All that said, like, who's made a really good impression to start with week one?
Yeah, you know, and you hit it on the head. Like, it's important to take some time off at the end of the season, right? So in May, you know, a lot of the guys shut it down for a while and they throttle back on the workouts. So we're so excited to get things going. When we get here in June, we have to be careful not to go too hard, too fast, and create some injuries because guys are, you know, they're wanting and willing to please right now, like, because it is a new coaching staff and they have new teammates and they want to compete and please. And so they've all given an unbelievable effort, and kind of as a group, I've been impressed You know, our young man from Belgium, Jules, probably in the best shape because his season just got done
right
3 weeks ago. So he didn't really have that break. So he kind of came in close to game shape. So when we've gone up and down the floor a little bit, he hasn't worn down as quickly, which allows him to do some of those things. But really, you know, we haven't done enough to say, okay, this guy's really stepped up and been great, or this guy's, you know, been disappointed at this point. They're all kind of, to be honest, as a group, a little more athletic than I thought they might be, not knowing it. And that's been a positive. Basketball IQ is a little higher than, you know, some of the other teams I've had in the past, which is a positive. So that's been the two things I've taken away from the first three workouts are, A, it's a pretty smart group, and B, it's a pretty athletic group.
You mentioned one of the emphasis is the things you're emphasizing in the summer here is becoming a team. Saw the social media video go out yesterday with you guys playing dodgeball. I was very disappointed that you were not out there demonstrating your athletic ability. Were you just trying to make it fair on everybody because of your dodgeball prowess?
You know, part of building this chemistry, Cole, is confidence, right? We have to give them confidence.
Yep.
If I go out there as a 50-year-old and destroy their confidence because I dominate the game with my agility, my mobility, my strength, my quickness, that's really hard then for me to kind of build that up.
Yeah.
So I thought it best to back out, you know, and just say, hey, I'll support and cheer from the sidelines. I'll officiate and coordinate and stay out of this. But it was fun to see because the other coaches did participate. Our strength coach participated. And we're going to kind of do these different things throughout the summer. We'll probably do it 7 or 8 different times with different events. And the coaches came away after having lost the players saying, we want to keep track throughout the summer and have some kind of a reward at the end of the summer for whichever group, players or coaches, had more wins at the end. But players were up 1-0, so we got to figure out how we can get the coaches back, you know, into the game at least.
Well, I think the fans like to hear that the players are winning and not the coaches, quite frankly. But silly question of me to ask that, yeah, of course, it would just kill everybody's confidence if you were getting involved there.
Yeah,
you know, following up on Jules Isbert, who you mentioned being in close to game shape or still in game shape, and bringing an international player over, do you guys make it a point to maybe – do a little extra, provide a little extra for him, given the fact that he's making this big move? And I think, you know, the game's globalized so much nowadays that maybe that curve isn't as steep for a player coming over, but there's still a curve there, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and he's played at a pretty high level. In Belgium, is, you know, he's English, man. It's more impressive than mine. I feel bad. But you're 100% right. Making him feel like he's at home, he's away from home for the first time. The time change is such that it's hard for him to even communicate consistently with people back home. So we make it a point, you know, to take him out to eat, make sure he's got, you know, we house them, so make sure he's got what he needs there, have him to the house for dinner along with some other guys, just to make him feel as comfortable as possible, because you can't perform on the floor unless you're comfortable off the floor. And so making them feel like they made the right decision and they're in the right place and they're going to get better, they're going to be taken care of, will allow him then to be the best player he can be. No different than what we've done for Levi Valdo and, you know, any other international guy we might have.
Yeah. You and I, men's basketball coach Kyle Green, our guest right now on the drive. All right, the Kansas game that we know about coming up this December, that's obviously very cool to have that one on the schedule. Is there anything else you can offer up on scheduling here in mid-June?
I wish. I'm not even trying to be, cryptic. We're working on it, man, every day. The daily process. I would guess we won't have our non-conference schedule done until into July. You know, and we inherited a couple of road games with Furman and Oakland, return games.
Yep.
So those are on the schedule, obviously. We've got a couple other contracts out that we haven't gotten back yet for some home games with some regional opponents. And then we're still trying to potentially add another game like Kansas. We're open to doing that, or some neutral site games, you know, similar to like when they played Wichita in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, old Missouri Valley Conference opponents like Missouri State, like some of those regional traditional games that our fans can hopefully get excited about, and bringing some of those teams back to the Cedar Valley and to the McLeod. so there's some familiar, but yet different teams on the docket, you know, and one of the ways, you know, we can do that is, you know, through relationships and people we know and trying to play on some of those things to hopefully get that done here in the next couple months.
We've heard some coaches of Power 5 programs when asked about, hey, why won't you play some of the better mid-major teams? Some of them have come back and said, no, if they're a good mid-major team and it's not going to be hurtful to our metrics, you know, in the quad system.
Right.
So I think what they're getting at is like, you know, if it's a mid-major that's a quad two, yeah, right. Like we will consider that. Now, I don't know if maybe some of that's lip service. I'm sure it's case by case, but
yeah.
What's that environment like? Do you feel like some of that is actually out there?
There is some. It's you know, coaches who are established and secure in where they're at and have had some success are more open to doing those things,
sure.
To be honest. You know, and willing to, and they will, you know. The coaches of the world, the Matt Painters of the world, and Coach Self, obviously, and guys like that, understand that it helps their team. And not only metric-wise, potentially, but just helps them get better. So they're you know, have been more willing to do those things. I think the fact that the tournament's expanding in a weird way helps us do those games because –
yeah.
Losing in one of those games doesn't hurt them as much as it might have in the past because they're going to have another 8 to 16 spots available in the tournament, right? So if they're on the bubble's grown.
Yep.
They're still able to get in. So I think all those things, the fact that we get 32 games now, plays into that too. So I do believe that there are a few more of those opportunities out there.
Among those changes with 32 games and talking scheduling, something that Coach Lehman and I talked about on the show this week is how it sure seems like the ground is moving underneath multi-team events. And that basically what I'm saying, that they're changing right in front of our eyes right now. And who's to say exactly what they become, what still stands, what doesn't. What can you tell us about what's going on with multi-team events? Like you guys, it was the Acrisure last year, and then you guys have pulled out of the Acrisure. Heard a little bit about smoke about what you may be going into, but it just seems pretty unsettled right now.
Yeah, it is very unsettled. And neutral site games, the high major teams aren't – the big draw for us to try to get into those events in the past was the opportunity to play against Power 5 teams.
Mm-hmm.
And those teams aren't – they're either going to events like in Las Vegas or events that are almost exclusively just high major teams, or they're just playing more neutral site games against one another at different venues. And that's a way for them to generate revenue as well as programs. So you're 100% right. The number of multi-team events is going to shrink. I think teams, if they have the opportunity to play more neutral site, like one-off, instead of playing 3 games in 3 days, playing 2 neutral site games is more of a you know, appealing to coaches. We were scheduled to go to the Cayman Islands. We've gotten out of that. Some of this is also cost, right?
Yeah.
With the world of NIL that we're in now, any extra revenue that's out there that we can raise goes in that direction as opposed to taking a trip to the Cayman Islands. So we are now in the process of looking for a different multi-team. We still want to play in them. You know, we still want an opportunity to get 2 neutral site games against a quality opponent as opposed to having to go on the road for that. So there still is some value in them in tournaments, but who you play and where they are and how that plays out and whether or not they're on TV like they've been in the past is kind of a work in progress.
You know, as you described that all, Coach Green, it gave me this idea that nobody's ever had before where you could have Iowa, Drake, you and I and Iowa State have a multi-team event at a neutral site, and I think that maybe the money could work for everybody involved there. Again, I don't think anybody's ever had this idea. Maybe we could call it the Big Four Classic. What do you think?
I now am on board 100% with that idea. I think that would be phenomenal if we could get that figured out and pull it off. You could be the title sponsor in any way, shape, or form you want, or the one that drives the engine. I would be all for it.
If the check wouldn't bounce all the way to the moon, I'd sign it today, KG. You and I miss bass. men's basketball coach.
I don't know if we're there yet.
No, we're not. how's 2027 recruiting going? And I think this is a question that, you know, maybe if this is a different city and a different program, like, I don't even know if a host would be asking that question, because that could be a program that's like, well, we know they're just going to wait until the portal. But, of course, we know you and what you said, where we're placing a priority on high school talent, and there's more of it out there now by nature of what this all is. So how's 2027 recruiting going?
I feel like it's going well. I do. People have been really receptive. We've been really aggressive. The staff's done a nice job of reaching out to guys, you know, a combination of going out and seeing some guys, and then right now getting guys to visit in June is a priority for us, too, and getting them over here to watch practice and see what we're like. I feel good about that. The one thing that's really interesting, Cole, is, and I think it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet, is, and people may not be aware, that they may pass this rule that allows athletes to have 5 years of eligibility.
Right.
And if it goes into effect next year, in essence, what we have then is no seniors. And so how are we going to figure out how to navigate that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if nobody goes off your roster, how do you add guys to your roster? And the world we live in now, obviously we're all smart enough to know there's going to be some attrition. It's just reality, right? With the guys' ability to transfer multiple times, you know, if they're not playing or they don't have the role that they want, they're just more apt to go elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have opportunities to add some guys, and we didn't fill out our roster on purpose, because we wanted to be able to add some high school kids. But what that looks like and how many you can take and what do you need depends on a lot of things, including our own guys that are here and that we're finally getting to work with. Until we work with our own guys, we really don't know what we need to bring in at the same time. So it's been kind of a unique 2 months in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of wrapping our heads around it right now and really excited about the handful of visits we got set up and the guys we're recruiting.
Between possible 5 for 5 and then what appears to be, and this is like, the most impossible thing to predict maybe in the entire world, and that's the United States Congress. But between 5 for 5 and that bill that they have for college sports, like, I mean, you guys got to just be like, hey, like, you going to let us know when we know what we're doing and what we're not doing?
It would be nice. It would be nice, you know. You proceed with the information you have to the best of your ability. But it's ever fluid. And, you know, it may pass the 5 for 5. They may not. And you're kind of in limbo, and you kind of go by best guess. And but, yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't – some point in time there will be a conclusion to all this. I don't know when. I don't sense it's going to be soon. But I'm sure hoping it is. It would make life a lot easier for all of us.
Thank you for your time today. Really appreciate it. I mean, you know, by nature of everything we covered – including, you know, just how uncertain everything is. Like, there's no days off in college basketball.
No, it's not. It's a lot of fun. It is. It kind of keeps you on your toes. There's always something going on, and a curveball around the corner, to use your baseball reference, and I've enjoyed it. I'm enjoying it a ton.
All right. Well, enjoy your summer the best you can, KG. And, again, appreciate your time. Take care.
Anytime, Cole. Thanks.